Well, we all know that forgiveness is at the heart of our life as Christians because the Lord Jesus teaches us so. How he tells us that we must forgive one another 70 times 7 times. And in the only prayer that he teaches us, the Our Father, he tells us to tell the Father to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so it is obviously in our lives as disciples of Jesus, we must constantly seek to forgive one another. But the Lord Jesus is talking about something more today. He's not talking about only forgiveness, that's presumed here. But he's talking about reconciliation. He tells us that when someone offends us, we must first approach that person directly, personally, individually. This is to prevent us from doing what we naturally would want to do. And that is, you know, when somebody hurts us, we want to tell everybody else. I think it was Saint John Vianney. Saint John Vianney was hearing confession, and a person came to his confession and said, "I talked badly about my whoever it was." And St. John Vianney said, "For your penance, I want you to go up to the hill in town, bring with you a pillow, and slash that pillow open and let the feathers fly." And the person thought, that's kind of a weird penance. But the person did it anyway and came back to report to the saint and said, "I did what you said." And St. John Vianney said, "Now, for your penance, go and collect all the feathers back." And the person cried and said, "Father, how can I do that? The feathers are gone into the four winds." And St. John Vianney said, "That's what happened to gossip." And so the Lord Jesus, in telling us, when someone offends us, go to the person and try to work it out with the person directly without talking to everyone else. This, my brothers and sisters, is part of what we understand as reconciliation, because forgiveness is presumed. We're going to have to forgive as we live through our lives. As difficult as that is, we must practice forgiveness throughout our lives. But reconciliation is that after the forgiveness is given, we walk together again. This is the reconciliation. And the Lord Jesus knows the reality of this, and that is, even though we are called to reconciliation, there are times when it is not achievable. There was a father who came to my office and said, "Father, I just brought my son into the rehab center for the fifth time. And you know, he's been struggling with his drug addiction all of his adult life. I have to constantly bailing him out, putting him to rehab. He recovers, he comes back, he lies to me, he steals, he does all sort of things, and then I have to put him back into the rehab to help him out over and over for 5 times." And he said to me, "I forgive my son." But you see, there's no reconciliation. Because of the son's addiction, the father and the son's relationship is strained naturally. Because of the son's addiction and continued addiction, they cannot walk together in that moment, although forgiveness had already been given. You see the difference. Then the Lord Jesus tells us why we need to not only forgive, but to reconcile. The interesting thing is that he didn't say, you know what, you've got to reconcile with the person who offends you so that you can feel better. Although that is true, but he didn't say that. He didn't say, try to reconcile with people who offend you so that you can be considered a better person. Although some of that is true, but he didn't say that. He said, reconcile with your brother so that you can hope to win him back. Of course, the Lord Jesus is talking. So winning him back here is winning him back for God. A number of years back, I think probably 20 years now, I remember it was so vivid in my memory because it's such a powerful act of forgiveness. And that was, I don't know if you remember the case, there was a mother in court asking for clemency for the murderer of her child. And after she addressed the judge about give this man clemency, she turned to the murderer and she said, I forgive you, but now please turn to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Obviously, there was forgiveness. The woman said so even publicly. But there was no reconciliation because they, as you can imagine, are not going to go out and have coffee anytime soon. You see the difference. And yet, she did it the right for the right reason. She didn't do it so that she could feel better, although some of that is true. She didn't do it so that everybody in town now on TV will say, that's a good woman, although that some of that was true. But she did it so in hope to win that sinner back to God. She literally said that. I forgive you, now please turn to Jesus. And so, my brothers and sisters, today as we come to the Holy Eucharist, we are reminded of our calling as Christians that in our lives, we must continue to forgive one another and we must continue to work toward reconciliation, even though there will be time when that is not successful. The Lord understands that. That's why he said, go directly to the person. If that doesn't work, bring a couple of witnesses with you. And if even that doesn't work, bring that person to the church. And if that doesn't work, then you have to leave the person in the hands of God. The problems with our effort to forgive or to reconcile with one another is that we have that based on how we feel, right? We say, oh, I'm still hurt. All of us are people of God, and we know that it is at the center of our lives to forgive. We all know that. It is that Jesus desires for us to reconcile with one another. We all know that. But we all base it on how we feel, how deep we hurt. And that's fair because we're human. But the Lord Jesus is giving us a reason why to do it outside of our feelings, outside of our hurt. He said, you don't do it in order to alleviate your pain. You don't do it because you know what happens, right? We say to ourselves, we even say to God, God, I will forgive, I will reconcile as soon as I feel better. As soon as the hurt is gone. And of course, it never happens. And so the Lord Jesus gives us a way out of how to forgive and reconcile with one another without basing it on how deep the hurt is. He said, you don't base it on that. You base your forgiveness and reconciliation, the effort of reconciliation, on the desire to win the person back to God. And so when we understand this beautiful teaching about forgiveness and reconciliation, we come to appreciate so much deeper the gift of God. Because when we go to confession, my brothers and sisters, the sacrament of confession is also known as the sacrament, not the sacrament of forgiveness. Although forgiveness happens, the sacrament of penance or the sacrament of confession is known as the sacrament of reconciliation. Why? Because for God, He will always forgive and will always walk with us again. Once we're ready. God will always, not only forgiving us, but reconciling with us again. Although, for humans, that's sometimes very hard and unachievable. Because forgiveness may be given, but the reconciliation does not take place because of whether the individual is not ready, or the hurt is too deep, or the circumstances don't allow it. But for God, it is always available because this is how God is. And so, my brothers and sisters, today as we come to a deeper appreciation of God's gift of forgiveness and reconciliation to us, it would make sense for us to come to confession more regularly, especially for those of us that have not been to confession for a long time. I would recommend that we all go to confession at least no longer than 3 months, so that not only our sins can be forgiven, but that we can be reconciled to God again. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us give thanks and praise to God today and ask that through the gift of this Holy Eucharist, we may have the strength and the courage in our lives to forgive one another and to seek for reconciliation with one another. But all the while, we are so glad and so deeply grateful that God, the Almighty, is always ready in the sacrament of reconciliation, not only to forgive us, but to walk with us again.